Good morning and welcome to the Heart of Christ Church, where we know God is good
all the time.
And we also know that God has called us His church with three commands through His Son, our Savior, that we are to love God, love others, and go. And as we live those three commands, we live the testimony that all of us hold to, both the old covenant and the new covenant in His blood. For in these things, as we love God, love others, and go, we are working out our salvation, and I pray ye with fear and trembling. Can I get an amen? That we may go in the positive knowledge that God is in control. And today I'm going to talk about that a little bit as we look at our sermon title today. Our sermon title is Thriving in a Harsh World. How many of you believe that we are living in a harsh world? Yes. You know, I think it's funny because God cursed this world in the Old Testament. How many of you realize that? You know, we look around and how many of you see beauty in this earth? I want you to think about something. The beauty that we do see is tainted because of the curse. There are thorns and thistles, okay? There are trials and tribulations. But yet in the midst of it, God has given us enough that we can see that there is more. And in that more is where He resides, because there is an eternity waiting for those of us who walk with Him through this time of trial, through this time of testing, and not just survive it, but thrive in it. Okay? God does not want us to just get through. How many of you couldn't wait till you graduated high school and you did what you needed to do just to get through? God doesn't want that for our life. Yeah, that was me, Bernie. That was me. It was like, hey, give me what I need. I'll regurgitate it and get this thing done and get out there in the world and struggle the whole way through it. But God does not want us to struggle. God wants us to thrive. He wants us to understand that He has a plan and a purpose for each of our lives. And that plan and purpose means we have to deal with the stuff that's here. How many of us like to hear that? Man, we don't like to hear that. But guess what God says? In this scripture we're about to read, it's the first thing He says. So open your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Timothy. We're going to be in chapter 3. And we're going to be reading 1 through 17. Now, you know me, I'm going to break it up into sections. So we're going to read 1 through 5, okay? And then we're going to stop, and then we're going to go again. Because, again, I need to teach through this stuff. I need to preach through this stuff. Because this is what, you know, I've been reading this piece of Scripture now for like 4 weeks. This has been my devotion for like 4 weeks. And it is a powerful piece of Scripture in the heart of a Christian when we come to understand that God is talking to us about the very life we are all living right now. Paul was living it. Things weren't good for him, but yet they were great for him. Why were they great? Because he was in Christ Jesus. He was thriving in the midst of this stuff. Let's read from verse 1. But realize this, saith the Lord, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. Now, how many of you love that piece of Scripture? Oh, that's going to be my life verse, right? That's going to be my life verse. No! God is simply pointing out here what all of us know, what all of us see, what all of us live in every day of our lives. And I dare say some of us fall to some of this stuff. How many of us have been arrogant in the last week? How many of us have been boastful in the last week? How many of us have been self-lovers in the last week? It is the human condition due to sin. Can I get an amen? We have to recognize who we are and who we aren't. and we're part of this thing, but through Christ Jesus, we have been separated out of. We are no longer of the world, though we are in the world. For we are of the kingdom now, as we have chosen Christ. And we now have the control to actually defeat these things in our own lives. And in so doing, we can help others come to that progressive sanctification of learning how to rid themselves of these things while we yet ourselves are trying to get rid of them. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's a work. But that work is something we need to see. How many of us are seeing these things and they are abounding more and more and more every day? When I look at some of the things that he says here, you know, I think about the Apostle Paul. You know, what would he think of himself if he saw TikTok right now? Or Facebook? Okay, how much self-love is there on TikTok and Facebook? Or even YouTube? And, you know, we could name all the different platforms that are out there, right? It's all self-emulation. And that is what it means to be a lover of self. We think more of ourselves than we think of anybody else. And in fact, we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves that we're something more than we really are. You know, how much of that leads to enablement? You know, how many of these folks out there feel like they are entitled to everything simply because they are? Now, I'm going to be very Pennsylvania Dutch, and I'm not going to say what I want to say because what I want to say is what my mom used to say, and I can't say that as a pastor. So I've got to clean it up a little bit. But my mom used to say to me that you think you're a golden child, but you need to remember where you've come from. And the reality is none of us are golden children. We all come into this world with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. I've never seen a hearse followed by a U-Haul. The family's back there fighting over that stuff. We all know it. The way we come in is the way we go out. Now, there's going to come a day when we aren't going out that way. How many of you are waiting for that day? How many of you are longing for that day? When the trumpet just touches our ears and we're out of here. How many of you think that day's coming closer? Every hand better be in the air, because Paul thought it here, okay? They were living through this stuff. They were living through these revilers. They were living through all these persecutions. They were living through the things that we ourselves are seeing now, but we are seeing them exponentially more now than ever before. And we know we're getting closer and closer to that day. When is it going to happen? I have no idea. It may be another 50 years. It may be another 500 years. But I'll guarantee you this. I've been told that I need to look at the seasons, the signs of the times, and how many of us see the storm on the horizon? Yeah, we can see the storm clouds and we know it's coming. How many people lie to themselves and say, that's going to go around us? No, it's coming. It's all but on top of us even now. I mean, I swear I hear the horse's hooves coming from heaven right now. And I glory in that day. But we have a work to do while we're here. And that's the one thing I want us to understand. Because so many people think when I start preaching about the rapture, when I start talking about here he comes, okay, that, oh, he's an escapist. He wants out. No. Yes, I want out. I mean, let's all be real. How many of us want to be in heaven? How many of us want to be in glory? You know, yes, I want to be there with him all the rest of the days of my life. And I plan on living forever. At least that's what he's told me, and I believe it. So therefore, I need to be prepared unto it. Can I get an amen, church? Because guess what? This is where we learn that stuff, on this side. So that when we get there, we kind of understand a little bit about what he's doing. This is all school. There's a test at the end of this thing. And God grades on the cross. Can I get an amen? Amen. He doesn't grade on the curve. He grades on the cross. And if you ain't there at the foot of the cross, you ain't there at all. And that's where we got to begin. That's where thriving starts. It's recognizing who's in control and that we need to see these things for what they really are. Talk about them. Work through them. Work with other people. That doesn't mean you point it out and you mouth them down. That means you walk with folks. And that's a hard thing to do. How easy is it to walk with some of these revilers, with some of these people that are treacherous and reckless and conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God? We'd rather have nothing to do with them, wouldn't we? Well, if that was the case, then God should have nothing to do with us because that's where we were before we came into Christ. But God says, no. You've got both feet firmly planted on the ground. Your spirit is in Him, so you're secure because that means His spirit is in us. Can I get an amen, church? And that's what gives us that guarantee. But we still have both feet on this ground, which means this is where we're supposed to be working. Bloom where you are planted. That's what Paul was talking about here, and he's going to get into with these folks. It's not going to be easy. It is a harsh world out there. How many of us are wondering, you know, well, with the way the economy's going, am I going to be okay in my retirement? You know, and oh my goodness, you know, is my money going to last? You know, and oh my heavens, you know, are my kids going to be okay? And we worry about all this stuff, but how many of us think about the reality that God has said that He will take care of us? Do we believe that? Or do we allow Satan to lie to us and then we get all wrapped up in this other stuff and then we can't thrive? Because when you are not operating in the Spirit of God, but you're operating in the spirit of the world, you are fighting this thing the whole time, trying to change it. I don't know about you, but I'm not God, and I can't change the world. But God can change the world around me, and that's one of the things that I begin to see. And how does that take place? What does it begin to look like? Well, let's continue on in what Paul is teaching us here, because again, we have to look to the Word of God, which we're going to find out here shortly, is actually the beginning of thriving. From verse number 6, he says, "For among them are those who enter into households and captivate a weak women, weighed down with sins, led on by various impulses." And you wonder why I'm preaching this. It's Mother's Day. Isn't that amazing? And I thought to myself, these ladies are going to kill me. No, you're not, because you're not of these women, are you? You're of women who are godly women, who know their place, their position, and know that God has called you unto a glory that is not your own, but is given unto you. Can I get an amen, ladies? And that means they live a little differently. So again, yes, I wanted to tie this into Mother's Day, and I had no idea I was going to get to until I really started looking at it and was like, wow, these women are going to beat me up if I read this on Mother's Day. No, you're not, because you're not of this world. It's not talking about you, because you got it right. So we as the men need to be looking to godly women and not worldly women. Can I get an amen, gentlemen? Keep your eyes in your head is what my daddy used to tell me. I didn't understand that until I was like 23. Moving forward, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Okay? Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also opposed the truth. Men of depraved mind, rejected in regard to the faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, just as Jannes and Jambres' folly was also. If you go back to the Old Testament and you look up these two gentlemen that are being spoken of there, they're the ones that wanted to go back to Egypt. They're the ones that came against Moses. And you brought us out here and only to be destroyed. We can go back and we can have all the food of the Egyptians and, you know, and everything will be nice and hunky-dory again. How many of us want to go back? I don't know about you, but since I have tasted my Lord and know that He is good, I don't want to go back. I want to keep going in the direction that he has brought me thus far. For these men, it says, again, guys, remember, it's talking about men here. These men are of depraved mind, okay? They're always learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. The knowledge of truth is the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he has a plan and a purpose for us. It says in the Psalms that there is a way unto man that seemeth good, but in the end, it leads to death. How many of us chase after the things of this world, the things that we want, the things that we think are going to make us happy, until we finally find Jesus Christ and we realize now we're happy? And then we can't walk away from him because we realize, even with all these other things, they're just tools that God has given us so that we can literally do the work that we need to do in our lives. And what is the work of every man? That we are to take care of the women that he literally leads us to. And ladies, you should feel proud about that. And I mean that. I really do. I'm not saying that in a derogatory manner. And I pray you all understand that. Because there's a covenant being made here, ladies. That your husband, when he marries you, your husband, when he asks you to be his bride, he's saying, look, you don't have to worry about anything anymore. I want you to take care of me, take care of my household, take care of my children. You can pursue your career, all those things. I'm here to protect you. I'm here to look out for you. You don't need to worry about the world coming at you. God's given me that position, and I'm going to hold to it, and I'm going to be your defender, your protector. Now, that means under the headship of Jesus Christ, guys, right? That means we're learning. That means we're walking in the Word. That means we are discovering what our salvation means and who we're supposed to be, because we are to be the provider protectors of our wives and our children. Can I get an amen? Amen. And that's everybody in here saying amen, the men and the women, okay? Because this covenant of marriage is something that these men didn't understand. They abused these women. And isn't that what our world does? Look how many women are out there being abused today. Look how much our world is abusing one another. It doesn't matter who or what they are. They're always out there trying to learn, but what are they trying to learn? The things that turn them back to self, the things that make them self-emulate. And Jesus says, no, there's a better way. And we know that better way. That better way is a giving of yourself 100%, 100%. I ask married couples all the time, people that are looking to get married, what kind of a proposition is marriage? Is it a 50-50 proposition? And most of them will tell me, oh yes, Pastor, it's 50-50. And I'll look at them and say, you've already gotten divorced. And they just look at me like, what? I said, if you are not willing to give 100% and them give 100%, it ain't going to work, because 50-50 does this. And how many of us understand what that means? How many of you have been there with your spouse? Yeah, we all know what that means. We've done it. And then through the reckoning of Christ in our hearts and minds, we remember that we belong to them and they belong to us. And we've got a covenant here that is so much greater, so much more powerful, that we can get through anything. And some of us have been through some pretty tough stuff. Can I get an amen? And I can look around and look at all of us, and you all know the stuff you've been through. And I'll guarantee you right now, I would not be standing up here if it weren't for that lady and my Lord. Can I get an amen, church? Thank you. I appreciate that. Because I'll guarantee you right now, she's made me the man I am. She's given me that ability. And I love her for it. And I always will. And if any of you don't feel that way towards your spouse, you need to get there. Because that's where God wants us to be. He is our groom. And that is his position. And guys, he's showing us that. That we are to be the provider protectors of our wives and our families. Can I get an amen? Amen. Again, it's thriving in a harsh world. This harsh world wants to tear everybody down. Men and women. But guys, this is one of the things I got to say to you. We got to suck it up. We got to take it to the cross, bear it to him, and he will raise us up. because that is how we begin the thriving process. It's understanding our position and what we are to be doing. But Pastor, the scripture doesn't really say that here. Let's move forward from verse 10. Now you followed my teaching. Now you follow my teaching. Conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch and Iconium and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He is telling us here, right here, that we're going to have stuff come against us, men and women. And these things are going to try to tear us down. But God has given us a better way, and that better way is the way of Jesus Christ. That He has shown us how we are to live. And I think it's so amazing, because when we read the book of Ephesians, and it talks in there of a husband and a wife and this relationship and what it's going to mean and how we bring about the goodness of a household, of a life worth living, it says in there one verse, and it's funny because in our Bible, they have separated it out. And that's verse 21 in chapter 5. And it says this, submit thyselves one to another. Well, if you read that scripture, it's literally talking about husbands and wives. And all of a sudden it says, submit thyselves one to another, and they separate it out in your Bible. If you look that up, you don't need to look it up right now, but when you go home and you tear this sermon apart, I want you to look at it. They've separated it because, well, yeah, we don't want to put it with this because then that makes women equal with men. And we don't want to put it with this because here it's talking about the headship of men and we don't want to lessen that. But God puts it right in the middle so they have to deal with it, so they make it a sentence and a paragraph all into itself. If that doesn't tell you something about our forefathers, which it does, they were sinful men too. Can I get an amen? But you see, I think it's really kind of cool because in the original languages, there is no punctuation, there are no chapters. We did that. Yeah, it runs deep. And I'm going to tell you right now, the church has a lot to learn. Can I get an amen? And it is learning the unity of Christ, because together we are one. And that's a truth. That is a truth. As we begin to thrive, as we begin to become that one entity with Him, He is our head. All of a sudden, life begins to have plan and purpose, and we can come together as not just husband and wife, but then as a family and as a community of faith, because we realize that's why God's bringing us together, that we can operate together as one entity, and He then is our head. He is our groom, and we are His bride, and there's nothing in that that is strange or weird, because it's a spiritual union. Can I get an amen? And as we walk with Him, we find strength, we find power, we find purpose, and we find protection. We find protection from these evil things of life. And these evil things of life are going to come. The persecutions that Paul just spoke of here, you know, we're to copy what he does, live the way he purposed, live the faith he lived, live in patience, live in love, live in perseverance. But persecution will come. Don't think it's not going to come. It's going to be here. Every day you're going to wake up and the evil one is going to try and figure out how he can defeat you. And I think it's most amazing, because all he really has to do is play into our stuff and we'll defeat ourselves. Can I get an amen? So we have to begin every day by looking in the mirror. You know, how many of you every morning you get up, you go into the bathroom, you comb your hair, you brush your teeth, take your shower, whatever you do, but you're standing in front of a mirror. We are vain people. I've never been in a restroom where there's not a mirror. Why? Because we like to look at ourselves. Am I pretty? Am I presentable? Some of us spend far too much time in front of that sucker. Because it ain't all about me, but are people seeing Christ in me? Am I projecting the image of the Lord into this world? What do people see? Who do people see when they look at me? You know, I think about that all the time as a pastor. Because I don't want you to see me. I'm broken. I'm flawed. I'm working on this thing just as much as the rest of you are working on this. But what I do want you to see is the goodness, the grace, the compassion, the love of Christ. Because, boy, that's what he's given me. I need it every day. And in that, my life is, I'm thriving. I've got so much stuff to do, I don't know if I can do any more. And yet every day there's more stuff to do. Last night we were up at the facility and I had no idea I was going to be helping Ryan and JB, and they had me there till 8:30. They wouldn't let me go. Pity me. Please. They wore this old man out up and down them stairs. You know, the boys told me there's 99 steps in that church. I believe them. Life is not easy, but we will persevere. And the love that we give one another grows, because I want you to think about it. Why are you here? Why are you reckoning with these people? Because you sense the love, and it's a greater love than a love of humans. It's the love of God in us towards one another. And we thrive. We long for it. It's part of that feeding. It's part of the power of Christ in us. It's part of that resurrection life that we live every day, because he took it to the grave and now he liveth. And in him, so too, we liveth in the glory of God every day of our lives. But yet the evil one's going to come, and he's going to try and rip that out of you. He's going to try and pull you down and make you think that nothing's going to succeed. You're going to have trouble all the rest of the days of your life. And you're going to say to him, yes, I am. But when I graduate, I win, sucker. Yeah, I just said that on TV. Well, on the internet anyhow. Oh, man. I am filled with hope and life and expectation. I don't know about you, but when I look at this word and I eat it, I take it in, and I rest in it, because I know as I walk in these things are going to come, but the love of God is here. The hope of God is here. The perseverance of God is here. The protection of God is here. And where do I find it? I find it in his word. I find it in his word. Brothers and sisters, you have to hear that. You have to hear that. If you want to take your life to the next level, you have got to hear that. Let's finish this chapter. From 13. But evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned and become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. As I read these words, what is Paul telling us here? You and I need to hold fast to the teachings that when we were young. And what does that mean? Okay? Now here he's talking to Timothy. Timothy was raised by his parents in the church, by his mother in the church. Okay? And I'm talking, you know, I'm talking the Old Testament church. He knew the word. He knew the word. All they had was the Old Testament. They didn't even realize they were writing the New Testament when they were writing it. Okay? And we now know that they were, that the Holy Spirit was carrying them along. And he was giving us the new covenant that we would understand and grow and learn and know. So as we look at this, what does it mean then that, you know, he says, and that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to pick on one of my elders because I know this of her, okay? Miss Marion here, God bless her soul, has been a Christian all her life. And some of you here may have been a Christian all your life. Well, what do you mean they were a Christian all their life? Marion grew up in the church. She didn't know anything but the church. I've asked her, you know, we've talked, and, you know, well, when did you come to know the Lord? Why? I have no idea, you know. I've always known him. She's like, yeah, I have a boring testimony. That's the most gracious testimony I've ever heard. From birth, you've walked with him. I had to go through crap. My life sucked. I don't want to go back there. And she says, I've known a life of love and protection all my life. Oh, bless you, sisters. It's any wonder to us that you're the person you are. The grace you show us, the mercies you show us. I know you all think I'm raising her up and puffing her head up. You know what she's doing? Right now in her spirit, she's saying, no, no, that's my Lord. That's my Lord. That's our Mary. And I know many others of you in here. Now, I get to pick on her because she's an elder and that's part of the requisite. But brothers and sisters, I want you all to think about your life. I've known some of you, and I'm pointing at one. Yeah, you. Since he was a babe. I remember when mom and dad carried him in a, what are those things called? A car seat of some, you know, the little bassinet type thing. He was just a little turkey. I look at him now, getting ready to get married. And I think to myself, you've grown up in it. Live it. You've got something I didn't have, and you'll be a better man for it. But all of us, no matter where we are infants in Christ because we are born again. We are born again. We are born again. And we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. And from that day until now, you have been sitting under the Word of God. You have been a child and you yet are a child, the child of the Father. For he says, you are my child. I have adopted you into my family. And in Christ Jesus, we know that we are full heirs to the promises that he has given us. Can I get an amen, church? So we all need to understand, he's talking about each and every one of us. He's talking about it from the day we accepted him and we were born again, born anew, that the old is gone and the new has come. And we must walk in this word, and this word is the word of God, full and pure, true and whole and holy. That as we submit ourselves to it, we will find everything we need to know to thrive in this world. Not just to make it through, but to succeed in ways that we could never measure. I want you to think about where you are right now compared to where you were when you first came to Christ. I'm not the same man. I'll guarantee you my wife's got a better husband. At least I hope she does. And as I look around and I see each and every one of you, I see changed people. I can remember when I came into the life of some of you folks, or you came into my life, however you wish to look at that, and you are not the same. You have grown. You have matured. And yes, some of us more so than others, because we all grow at different rates. Can I get an amen? But it's so amazing when you come under the Word, you cannot help but grow. You will be changed. You will be transformed. That's the work of God, the transformative work of God in every human life, to bring us to the place that we are more and more the image that we were meant to be. And that image is a reflection of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. Can I get an amen? So brothers and sisters, if you want to learn how to thrive in this world, I need to tell you something, and I began here with it today. I told you for 4 weeks, this scripture has been my devotion. And I have just been pouring my heart into it. Lord, teach me something, teach me something, teach me something. And He is teaching me so much about myself, teaching me so much about our world, but teaching me so much about His Word, and that He has spoken into everything. And when we open this book, if you are going through life right now as a Christian and you're suffering somewhere, something is not good, something is not right, I got to ask you the question, are you opening this book every day? Not just to read it because it's what a Christian does, but are you looking to this book? Are you feeding on this book? Are you seeking God and saying, Lord, meet with me, teach me, love me, hold me, strengthen me? Because I don't care what you say. You may think you're all mature because, you know, IR 62. I'm just a babe in Christ. I got so much to learn. I need my daddy to teach me. I can remember, and I do remember this stuff, and people think I'm crazy. I can remember one day my dad came home from work, and I was about 4 years old, and he took his work boots off. Because Mom wouldn't let him wear them in the house. He worked in a machine shop, so he had metal chips in his shoes. So he had to take them off at the door, and they sat on a rubber mat. And I went out there, and I slipped my feet in my daddy's boots. And I started walking across the kitchen, clomp, 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 clomp. And I looked at my mom and said, now I'm the dad. And she just looked at me, and she said, boy, you got a long way to go. And you know, when I pick this up and I hold it close, oh, don't I feel like that little four-year-old wanting to be like my daddy, wanting to know him more and more, to grow into those boots. And to truly become the man that I know is in here, but I got to get in here to find him, to become him. Ladies, to become the woman that only here you can become. Because here we have hope. Here we have victory in every darkness. Here. We literally have the glory of God given to each of us that we may experience and know Him now, for this life, for this moment, unto eternity. Can I get an amen? Amen. May we thrive in a harsh world, because this world wants us to be defeated. It wants us to think that it's over. Well, you and I know a different story. Jesus is coming again, and He's coming to get us. And when He does, what a glorious day it'll be, because then we start a 1,000-year reign with Christ, that Israel may complete all her tasks. And then, in the blink of an eye, we'll be in eternity forever. Oh, there are days coming yet ahead. May we thrive today, and may we thrive throughout eternity in Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen, church? Let us pray. Oh, Father God, we muddle through thinking we have the answers. But Lord, as I've said so many times, we don't even know the questions yet. So, Lord, help us to get into You, into Your Word, that we may come to know You more and more every day. Teach us Your way, O Lord, because in it there is hope, in it there is power, in it there is perfection of life. And may we attain to that goal one day. But until that day, Lord, raise us up. Teach us to be your children, that we may truly walk in the promises of thy grace and mercy every moment of our lives. For it is in Christ Jesus that we reckon this prayer. May you, our Father, be glorified in all that we are and are becoming. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can locate us on the web at theheartofchristchurch.com. There you will find many useful links to contact us or donate to our ministry, where it is our mission to love God, love others, and go.